السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, we are only a few days away from hosting the month of Ramadan. This week and the following Jumu'ah, we will dedicate our discussion to topics that are very, very relevant to the month of Ramadan. I believe that if we can implement what is to be said, we can maximize the benefit of the month of Ramadan. The topic of today is supplication. And we're going to shed light in the few moments that we have on this topic. But the conclusion is that when we return from this Jumu'ah session, we should try to dedicate 5 to 10 to 15 minutes every day to this noble worship, the worship of supplication. There is a hadith that has been reported by Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an, recorded by Imam Tirmizi, in which Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah," that supplication is the essence of worship. So there are many different rituals, and collectively they are known as ibadat. But if we were to extract the essence, the juice, the essence is supplication. In the third section of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Almighty says, "Ya ayyuhan nas u'budu rabbakum," that O mankind, worship your Lord. Now, the scholars of tafsir, the scholars of the Quran, have opened up the discussion under the word "u'budu rabbakum," worship your Lord. And there are many different understandings pertaining to this fragment of the ayat. But there are many, many scholars of this opinion that "u'budu rabbakum" denotes that we worship one Allah. And worshipping in reality is supplicating. So when a person sits down in seclusion and he calls out his Creator and he presents his need in front of him, this is worship. This is worship. This is what Allah demands from each human being. Indeed, we cannot disregard the collective worship. In a few moments, we are going to establish the Jumu'ah prayer. That is a collective worship. And indeed, that is meritorious, most commendable. But in addition to that, sitting alone, presenting your needs, in itself indicates that you believe that He is the one that can fulfill your needs. And this gives Allah Almighty pleasure, absolute pleasure. And in lieu, in return, Allah Almighty responds positively. I made mention a few weeks ago that there are many different kinds of resources, asbab, that we collect in life. And when we focus upon these resources, the first thing that comes to mind is that through the utilization of these resources, I will be allowed to move through my life. I have connections, I have commodities, I have this, I have that. These are all resources. And the person has faith, conviction, that if I utilize these resources properly, I can live a pleasant life. But sometimes a person hits a brick wall. And in spite of having all these resources and the utilization of these resources, he can't remove that brick wall. He feels suffocated. He feels that all doors are closing upon him. At that time, he resorts to supplication. But my noble audience, supplication in the arena of prosperity, in the arena of adversity, destitution, should be allowed to be in the front of the line. Before even we utilize any small or large resource, we should resort to the channel of supplication and ask Allah Almighty, because it is the understanding that the most powerful resource that you have that will remove anything from your life that is unpleasant, that is unwanted, is dua. And that's why Imam Hakim in Mustadrak Hakim has recorded on the authority of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ad-du'a silahul mu'min wa imadud din wa nurus samawati wal ard." Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Ad-du'a silahul mu'min wa imadud din wa nurus samawati wal ard. That dua is a weapon for a believer. I would just like to pause and halt on this statement of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that gives us an understanding of the power, the might that Allah has blessed dua with. That if a person was to find himself in combat and he did not have a weapon, it will be very, very difficult for him to defend himself, to walk out of that situation alive. You need a weapon. Then you need a weapon of quality. Then you need a weapon of strength. Then you have to have the know about of how to operate that weapon. If I have a gun, that is a weapon, but I don't know how to operate it, it will be of no benefit. If I have a sword, but I don't know the art of swordsmanship, I cannot operate it. It is of no use to me. So first of all, we have to understand that this dua is a weapon. It will protect you from all directions. But we need to know how to operate it. What is the best format of the usage of this dua? And we made mention of that a few weeks ago. That how we make dua. How we make dua. And I will make mention of one of the techniques of using this weapon that is the most robust, the most powerful methods that has been extracted from the theme of the entire Quran by the theologians, by the clerics, by the scholars. So first of all, we have to understand that this is a weapon. And this is a divine weapon. It is not a man-made weapon that has limitations that can stop working. This is a divine weapon that never stops working. It doesn't have any limitations. This dua can attract the tawajjuh of the creator of this entire universe. This dua can attract the attention of the creator of this universe. It can change your entire life. It's very, very powerful. It's a matter of what we need to make this powerful. We have to know how to make it powerful. It is powerful, but we need to know how to utilize it. And that's why the second fragment, the second statement in this hadith of Imam Hakim is wa imadud din. This is the pillar of religion. You know, we say that salah is the imad, as-salatu imadud din. There's a hadith that salah is the pillar of religion. But Nabi Akrim says dua is the pillar of religion, because the essence of salah is dua. The essence of salah is dua. In Surah Taha, in Surah 20, Allah Almighty says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. You establish prayer for my remembrance. And one of the manifestations of remembrance is making dua. And then Allah Almighty says, through the Nabi of Allah, وَنُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that this dua is the illumination, the light of the heavens and the earth. When I read this superficially, this hadith, at a shallow level, I could not understand the connection of وَنُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعِمَادُ الدِّينِ and صِلَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. I could not understand the connection. What is the meaning of that dua is the illumination, the light, the torch of the heavens and the earth? I could not understand. So I had to study. And I came across the understanding that has been captured by the scholars, and how amazingly they have explained the meaning of وَنُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that dua is the light of the heavens and the earth. Meaning that when a person commits to wrong, there is a level of darkness that descends. When a person commits wrong, there is a level of darkness that surrounds him. Now, in proportion to his crime, in proportion to the number of his mistakes, the darkness intensifies and it becomes overextended, where the heavens and the earth become dark. Now, when humanity at large is committing to wrong, this darkness becomes very intensified and it becomes widespread. Now, there is no resource in this world that can remove that darkness other than your weapon, that is dua. So when a person says, Ya Allah, with the right intention, with the right connection, I try to use my words properly so you can capture them, with the right intention, with the right connection, and he says, Ya Rabb, all that light, all that darkness is replaced with light. And this is the meaning of the hadith, نُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. This is the light of the heavens and the earth. How beautiful. So take your dua seriously. 15, 20 minutes, I've been saying this for a long time. Start off. Now, you see a lot of people, they will perform Hajj after Hajj. You'll see a lot of people, they will give zakat every year. They will fast in the month of Ramadan. But those same people that you find them very, very loyal, very, very committed to certain rituals, but when it comes to salah, you find them relaxed. They don't establish the prayer. They will establish Hajj, give zakat, be very good in donations. But when it comes to salah, you will find them very weak. The reason behind it is that we have to understand, we have to depict that we have an enemy that is in front of us. Of course, the base self, the nafs, the internal enemy, the shaitan, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ, who is your manifest enemy outside. Now he has a lot of experience. If he knows that there is one amal that can defeat him, that is the amal of being continuous. Zakat is once a year. Let them give zakat. I will capture them after zakat. I will get him after he gives zakat. Hajj, let him do hajj. 5-10 days he comes back, I'll get the better of him. But salah is a connection with Allah by repetition. And he knows the power that it contains. So what happens is, he focuses upon the salah. He makes us weak in salah. He does not exert too much time, too much energy on us when we are performing hajj. Let them go. When we give it, let them give the zakat. I've got other avenues where I will deceive them. Where I will allow them to collapse. Other avenues. And that is salah. Now, simple question to you. When you make dua, is it hard or is it easy? It's hard. After 5-10 minutes, you don't enjoy it. You don't enjoy it. You stop enjoying the dua. That means the shaitan knows. That means the shaitan knows the power of this dua. He is working upon you when you're making dua. He doesn't want you to make this dua. Because he knows that if you make this dua, he's defeated. Because through your physical power, you can't do much, but through this dua, you can be propelled to a very, very high level. So when we go to the gym, and we get a personal trainer, why do we get that personal trainer? Because if I do my work individually, at a certain point, I will relax. I have the physical capacity to go one step further, but because no one is pushing me, I will stop. That's why you pay $70 an hour to a physical trainer, because he will push you beyond the limits that is in your capacity. Now, we can't get a physical trainer for dua. That you're making dua and you want to say, I'll stop, and he says, keep going. You can't do that. So depict yourself as your physical trainer. That when you find that you want to stop, keep moving onwards. Even if you don't like it, even if you have disconnected it, keep making that dua. Push through that barrier. You know they call in workout the pain barrier. Push through that barrier of not wanting to make dua. Push through it. You'll push through it 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and you will find you have arrived at the next level. And you will start moving upwards. And a time will come that the making of dua becomes part and parcel of your entire existence. And that's the time when your du'as are accepted. When you know that you have the resource that is silahul mu'min, that is imadul deen, that is nurus samawati wal earth. Reading Quran, a great ibadat. But du'a is no less than reading Quran, I tell you that now. Du'a is no less. Establishing salah is an ibadat, but dua is no less. Consider it to be a mighty ibadat. And that's why there's a hadith recorded by Imam Tirmizi on the authority of Nu'man bin Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, that he says, I heard from the Nabi of Allah, he said, Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Thumma qal, inna alladhina yastakbiruna an ibadati ya'ni ad-du'a. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ أَنَ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَخِلِينَ. Nabi Akrim says, dua by itself is a worship. You know, we're going to increase our worship in the month of Ramadan. The Nabi of Allah says, dua by itself is a worship. And then to endorse this statement, Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Verily those people that are too proud to make my ibadat. The scholars say ibadati means supplication, dua. سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Shortly they will be entering hell, disgraced. Now, how do we make this dua? The method of using this dua. If we study the Quran from cover to cover, and we travel through the different chapters and surahs of the glorious Quran, we find that Allah has educated us how to make dua. I'll just make mention of one and two or three, and then you will come to know what I'm going to say. Allah Almighty says in the start, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. Verse 201, Surah Baqarah, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. Then he comes to Surah Ali Imran, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا. What is common between all these du'as? رَبَّنَا. That is what is common. Allah could have said Ya Allah and started off, Ya Rahman started off, Ya Rahim started off. But no, all these du'as that are divine du'as, stipulated by Allah Himself, created by Allah Himself, start off with the word Rabbana. So there has to be a divine wisdom behind it. There has to be a reason behind it. There has to be a reason behind this Rabbana. So the scholars have said, Rabbana is that person. Rabbana is that person that from our inception till our last stage provides whatever we need. When we were in the mother's womb, Rabbana took care of us. When we were exiting from the womb into this dunya, Rabbana was the one that provided the environment to sustain our life. I am 44 years of age, I'm standing here, sitting here, whatever I needed from my inception till now and further on, Rabbana is that being that will provide it for me. He allows me to sit up, He allows me to stand up, and then He allows me to walk, and then He allows me to sprint. Whatever I need, He is the one that responds. The scholars have said that if a child is in need and he calls his mother, he says, Fatima, mother's name is Fatima, he says, Fatima, Fatima. The mum may react and respond, but if he says, Ummi, Mummy, Fatima, that's the name, but Mummy is that lady that has taken care of this child whilst he was in the stomach. And till this day she's taken care of him. Now when he uses this word mummy, ya ummi, ya mum, ya moms, the response will be very different than the response to Fatima. So the scholars have said when a person says Rabbana, the response is very different than addressing Allah with any other expression. Because Rabbana is the one that has taken care of me. Rabbana, ya Allah, aap hi hai, aapne mera khayal kiya. Rabbana, oh Allah. That's why when we ever make dua, we start off by saying Rabbana. And then you can add any expression to it. Any attributive name of Allah. But do not miss out on Rabbana, because Allah has educated us in the Quran that we make dua by Rabbana. Now, inshallah, we will speak about. I thought we could conclude this topic of dua, but it is a very lengthy topic, but it is a most important topic for us. So, in the weeks to come, we will shed more light upon this. But keep in mind, from today onwards, try to dedicate 5 to 10 minutes for this dua. That is your weapon. That is the pillar of religion that illuminates the heavens and the earth. Try to move through that barrier where you feel disconnected. Where you feel disconnected, still keep making dua. Because then the next day you will feel that you are a bit better. And by making this effort, this continuous effort, after 1 or 2 years you will find that you are making a dua of maybe half an hour, 1 hour, and you have not disconnected for even one split moment. Allah Rabbul Izzat allow us to adorn our life with this beautiful form of worship. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Donate with generosity. There's a few